If you come down to the woods today...
You didn't clap.
Okay, we'll start by clapping. 3, 2, 1. You're sure for a big surprise. Now, what I've done there is given myself a really difficult editing job to do. But I'll do it for you, listener dear, and I'll do it for the man, the only man that I truly love outside the family. It's Justin Panks. Come in, Justin.
Oh, I'm so uncomfortable. How are you? What was that? You're playing the piano again. You're taking back up the keyboard.
So I just like to just... What I like to do is start any conversation on the phone by tinkling the ivories so that people go, oh, I didn't know you could play. And then they go, oh, this. And then just knock out a concerto or two.
Liberace.
Very much like Liberace.
Yeah. Hey, I heard a rumour about him.
I think it might be true.
Do you know what the word? Do you know what I'm going to say?
Go on.
I heard that he was gay.
I think he was gay. Go on.
But he was never out.
Wasn't he?
No.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it might have been. I don't know. What the fuck do you think I am? A Liberace fan? What the fuck do I know?
I used to live in a flat and the upstairs neighbour was gay. And he would have very long, very loud sex with his partners. And it was like... I can only describe it as like hitting your hand on a mahogany table is what it sounded like. That kind of dull thump, repetitive thump.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
But I mean, I couldn't hear anyone else having that kind of...
Or maybe he was just...
It was just him.
Maybe he was just trying to swat a fly on this table.
In his boyfriend's bum.
But I have been in situations where I've overheard people enjoying themselves.
Have you?
And how long do you listen before you feel like the creep?
Oh, but I was in my bed.
I would have to put headphones in, get up and do something after a while. Because I would feel like I would feel like the creep, even though they are definitely infringing upon my personal space with their noise pollution.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because of the nature of the noise, I would feel uncomfortable and...
Yeah, like, how can that be put on you? That's very unfair, isn't it?
It is, well, it's not, I'm saying, but it's an internal thing. I'd be like, oh, there's someone, is that... And then you'd listen and you go, you know, you sort of like go quiet and cock your ear up and go, oh yeah, they're boning. And then it was like...
Isn't it strange that there's that excitement for, like, I don't, like, the other day we can see sort of a house that backs onto ours. So there's like both our back gardens and then their house. And I could see the guy of the family. He was at the window. I thought, oh my God, he's naked. And I had this excitement.
Yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
He was nude.
Yeah. And I was just seeing something you're not supposed to see, even if you don't want to see it.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is great.
So excited, you nearly dropped your binoculars.
Dropped my trousers. Me and my friend Tom, we used to walk to the train station every morning together. And there was a woman who, well, not every morning, but very often would be naked in her window on the walk to the station. And I think it really set us up for the day ahead. Now, that's not being creepy. I'm just saying, two young 18, 19-year-old lads on their walk to the train station to go into London. It gives a real perk to the day.
If you're, as long as you don't actually... go stalking or peeping tomming. I don't know how you would say that. But if you're 19,
I was getting to work 3 hours early every day.
Exactly. Dressed as a bush. But you have to...
Her back garden is on the way to the station.
Exactly. But okay, so there's two things about that. A 19-year-old lad, as you were, you are a bit of a creep. You are. You've got it in you. I mean, this is. I'm not excusing toxic masculinity in any way, shape.
No, but it is a thing, isn't
it? It really is. I mean, it's a burden.
It's going up to girls. It's being a bit flirty when you shouldn't. It's
and also not going up to girls, but in your mind, well. And the other thing is, how much of the naked woman in the window every morning do they know what they're doing?
How much of the naked woman in the window?
But how much of it is exhibitionism? I mean, if you knocked on doors, I'm sorry.
Hang on, what? Who are you?
No, I'm saying
she's asking for it.
No, no, not asking for it. But you know that sometimes I've seen women that go and draw the curtains, and I've seen with her bangers out. I remember I saw it once, and again I remember it like it was yesterday because it's so exciting, and it's like a glitch in the matrix. Like people are clothed. Unless you make a tacit agreement to get unclothed together. But when you're just walking down the street and look up and see someone naked, it's like, ugh! It's like very jarring and exciting.
I used to deliver milk. I was a milkman's assistant.
I've never heard it described like that. That's a very gentlemanly way of putting it, Ash.
I can deliver some milk if you'd like. Full fat, double cream. I'll deliver it right in there, son. Right up there. You know, your little prostate, it's like a walnut, apparently. Well, I'm going to... That's going to be like a yoghurt-covered raisin when I'm done with it. Go on.
You don't like him anymore, do you?
I don't like him at all.
You don't like him? I'm going to have to retire Cedric. No, but I'm sorry. So you used to deliver milk. So is this the confessions of a milkman?
There was a woman who always used to come to the door to pay every Saturday morning and would just be sort of tumbling out of her dressing gown.
That's what I mean.
Constant. And there was a bloke that my boss, the milkman, he came up to the door and through the porch he could see the guy just having a wank in the hallway. Like, clear as day, just sitting there. This is like 9:10 in the morning. Sitting in the hallway having a wank. And he was like, oh, do I knock still for the money? So he decided he would, and he knocked. And the guy realised, obviously, he'd been caught in the act, and then come out and quibbled the bill.
Wow, that's some bravery. That's some
that
balls.
Is absolute. I mean, sure.
I'd have paid double as a way of a super injunction to keep your mouth shut. Yeah. So here's
a
question.
I was thinking I'd up my milk.
So here I've got one of Jussie's hypothetical questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're this milkman debt collector or whatever you are. Just say that. Yeah. You knock on 61A Smith Street. A woman answers the door, tumbling out of a dressing gown, you avert your eyes, feel like you're in some way violating her, and you feel like the creep. Now you go to 61B Smith Street and a man answers the door with his cock and balls poking through his dressing gown. Dirty. And you think, dirty bastard, exposing himself. But what I'm saying is, when you see a woman naked up the window every morning, does she know that you can see her? Not you specifically, but is that a thing? If men expose themselves, there must be women that have that sexual kink.
Well, that does happen because I've just said to my girlfriend, the last few weeks I've been getting loads of direct messages on Twitter, which are things, I just had one saying, "Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I've just taken some sexy photos and I'm looking to share them." And then there's a picture of a woman with her boobs out and a link. Now, I won't click on those links, Justin. You know that as well as anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Why has that started happening?
Lockdown? Oh, I don't know. And here's another thing. But this is where men... this is the thing. So, right. Nah, fuck it. I can't be bothered. It's just too much of a minefield, isn't it? I'm not going to get into it. So, Ash.
Yes.
Minneapolis.
Oh, yes.
I've realised something over the last few days. What a stupid named city that is. Every time I say it, I say it different, and I think
an Annapolis, and that is a smaller version of it.
But every time I say it, I think I've said it wrong. Have I added a syllable, dropped one out? Minneapolis.
What about Atlanta?
What's that? Under the sea?
That's the
lost city.
The lost city of Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so they killed a geezer.
They did. They knelt on a man's throat.
Did you watch it?
And killed him. No, I will not watch it.
I actually watched that one because it is such a cultural event. And even though I was squeamish about it, I thought it was my duty to confront myself with the horror that people of a certain ethnic background are subjected to in the United States of America. And I'm not going to joke about it. I don't know if I've ever been so angry in my life as I was.
No.
And I'll tell you, this shouldn't make it worse, but for me, this is the sort of human backstory. Shouldn't make it worse, it couldn't be any worse, but one thing that, when it really, my blood started to boil over, I mean, my blood was boiling, but then it boiled over and it all sort of like stained on the hob, and you think, oh, fuck, it's all caked on now, now my blood's boiled over, I'm going to have to get a jiffy on that, is when they found footage of the George Floyd. He was a talented American football player and played college football, wide receiver. And in like 1991, he was on the
plane.
They had footage of him on the news, like being very athletic and running and jumping and catching the ball and scoring touchdowns on the, you know. And there was this little, and then they cut to this little fucking nerdy pin dick that was probably like bullied at school, but was getting his revenge because he had a bad needle on him and killed him. I was so angry. That made me so angry.
Then they said he had an underlying condition and that's what caused it originally, didn't they?
No, it was a geezer kneeling on his neck for 10... Yes. And he's dead and he still kneels on him for another 4 or 5 minutes. All the people are going, check his pulse, he hasn't moved for ages. And he's just like grinning and kneeling on him. And he's face down and he's like kneeling on the side of his neck because his face is turned, pressed into the road. And then I just started thinking of...
You mustn't.
I know,
but that's why they're writing. And I saw someone saying, "This is no way to get results." Writing, blah blah blah. And someone said,
"Yes, it is."
Did you not agree with the Boston Tea Party?
Kill all of the police. I don't know if anything I don't think if anything that hasn't directly affected me has made me as angry as that has. Did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm over it now.
Because it's like there doesn't seem to be the recriminations.
Well, if he gets done for murder, there's nothing. And I guess this is the thing, Ash. I guess this is my point of why I watched that one. We talked the other episode about Rotten, and I used to look at that, and now I'm squeamish. But this is a bit like if you said to me, "Do you know in abattoirs they do X, Y, Z to animals?" I said, I don't want to know. I feel like I had to know. Do you know what I mean? It's an issue that...
Okay, I do understand what you're saying. It's I've had things like that before. It's like, I should see this. In fact, it was an abattoir thing. I saw something where it was like...
Now,
pig in an abattoir. I was like, I owe this to... You know, I owe it to see this. But I find it incredibly difficult.
Well, this one, just because he... And obviously, he was completely innocent of what they thought he'd done. They thought he'd passed a counterfeit money, I think, or check, I heard.
Is that what it was?
I think he went into a shop and he tried to... They said
Even if he was guilty of money laundering, even if he's guilty of a crime, you can't kneel on someone's throat until they die.
Oh, he was handcuffed, face down. There was three police on his body behind the car, which you couldn't see from one angle, and this shithead, and just this absolute ratty little fucking... I can't think of it. There's no words for him. And he's got looking down and grinning, kneeling on him. And then when you find out their backstory, that one was like an athletic. I don't know what that matters to me, but it's just like the injustice of it, under the guise of justice, of course. You know that is what the hypocrisy. Yeah,
and they're,
they're
paintballing the press, the police there, aren't they? So when the press are filming the police now with the riots, the police are turning on the press and shooting them with paintball guns. Have you seen that?
Yeah, and I saw they arrested a black reporter, didn't they?
Yeah.
Arrested
the black guy and not any of the others.
I just think that
they've
like
got a real problem there, haven't they? Real problem.
I think we're probably late to this party of saying that, but I mean it is just, and I don't know why this one, it's just, I think it's because the footage is so clear. This is the most, obviously there was the Rodney King, it was really fucking bad. But then they sort of smoke screen all that and they go, "Oh, he was, you know, like, I can't remember the exact, but it's like, known." They go, known.
Do you remember that John Charles de Menezes, the guy in London?
Yeah, the Brazilian guy.
Jumped a barrier and then they shot him 7 times in the head. And they said, they'd been watching him for days. And it turns out he hadn't jumped a barrier.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That with the
and they said he had cocaine in his system. So what if he did?
But that's what I'm saying. These are all the things that they go. And I remember Rodney King was like, "Oh, he had been in prison before. He was this, he was that." And with that Mark Duggan, they were like, "Oh, he was in a gang. They think he had a gun. He did. He didn't." But this one's just so nothing. Like he was a college athlete. He moved to Minneapolis for work. He didn't use counterfeit money. He didn't have a record. The footage is very clear. He wasn't... Do you know what I mean? This is one of the ones where they can't muddy it. They try and muddy the waters, don't they? And go, what, like, exactly, that's a good example, that John, whatever he's called, the Brazilian guy. They were like, oh, yeah, he acted suspiciously. He was illegal. He was here illegally. Like, they started saying that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like, as if to say, oh, well, fair game then. You shouldn't have... If he weren't here, he wouldn't have got shot.
You shot him seven times, an unarmed man seven times in the head.
But that's what the anti-terrorism squad should do. It was just the wrong person. But, like, kneeling on a guy's neck for allegedly using counterfeit money or a counterfeit check or whatever, I mean, that's disproportionate.
Yes.
Shooting an innocent man seven times in the head is, of course, disproportionate. But if he was in a terrorist cell, then you think, well, that's their job. That's what they're trained to do. They're not. You're not trained to kneel on a bloke's neck for 10 minutes when he's handcuffed face down. It's.
I mean, how can that be? How can that? What in what world is that okay?
America. Like,
no, yeah, that's true. But I mean, why was he kneeling on him? What was he going to do?
He's just a dickhead. He's just an absolute. I can't think of a word for him. He's just one of the, he's a sadistic, getting his own back on the sad little life he's had. I don't know all this. Obviously, I'm projecting massively. But it's just, I don't know. I'm not going to say heartbreaking because that's not the emotion I've.
If it hadn't been filmed, you'd never have heard of it.
Oh, and how many times has it happened? How many times has it happened? Think before people had everyone's camera walking around with a camera and video camera. I didn't on our phones. We didn't use it before.
We spoke about this before because of the thing where the police were planting drugs. They just got their new cameras.
Yeah,
and they didn't realise that when you like hit record, it records all the time. When you hit record, it just saves that.
Yeah.
So they had this guy planting drugs. And talking to everyone, saying, yeah, make sure you go over there, find the drugs there, and then, right, everyone start your cameras now. Or like, it starts a minute beforehand, and he just absolutely dropped themselves in it. So,
well, I guess this is the problem, isn't it? We're, human beings are so flawed. Human beings will get away with what they can get away with. And the police are human beings, right? Doing a job. But when you've got this elevated, untouchable status, especially in America, this is the problem. That's why the hypocrisy exists. I don't think it's...
Especially if you're a white guy.
Yeah, of course, you've got all that...
Just that pure racism.
But one of the guys was Asian, wasn't he? And apparently the Asian officer, he had a history where he'd knocked someone out who was handcuffed. Like, just punched someone, clocked someone in the face. Like, he'd been disciplined for that. And this guy's got a record, apparently. The one that done the kneeling. But it's just sort of like, so this, you've got this discrepancy of this kind of like elevated, almost, what would you say, like a sort of like moral, sort of like floating above you, this moral, this sort of like, but you've got immoral people in a position of absolute morality and it doesn't work. Do you know what I mean? That's what the police should be.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult thing to get right and maybe impossible. Maybe it's impossible for even the best police in the world, if they went into a house and everyone was dead and no one knew they were there and there was £50,000 all bundled up in use notes on the table, and no one, would you just take it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
You know I would.
Oh, I fucking totally would, but that's why I'm not old Bill.
But they've got problems inherent in the system, haven't they? They've got racist undertones across the, you know...
So... The Rodney King riots in LA, it was like, oh, this is not... That was the flashpoint. The Rodney King riots was the flashpoint. It's about underprivileged people. And they're going to do this. Oh, it's just lockdown. People were bored. And they're going to swerve the issue. They're going to look for other reasons. They did that in London, didn't they, with the riots? They were like, oh, this is just the sort of disaffected youth finally speaking. I was like, no, don't... The protest is to draw attention to an issue.
About that recently. What happened with it? It's so weird that we had 3 or 4 days of absolute bizarre rioting and looting, and then it just went away and nothing happened.
But that's what I'm saying. So these riots and right looting, you can. Yeah, obviously, I'm not gonna. People are gonna go, oh, looting's, and of course, looting's not good. But I do think this is a legitimate. People have just fucking had enough. Because I felt that angry. I felt that angry from it, and
I don't really understand. But then the trouble is that gives you that gives the morons the way of going. Yeah, now look at them. Now they're looting.
Yeah, that does. But I mean, But that doesn't. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. So then the media are going to spin it. Oh, it was the perfect storm that everyone was on lockdown and frustrated, and racial tensions were high in Minneapolis, and the economy and suffering and people. And they, no, just forget all that. Firstly, let's deal with the police issue, because that's why that's what. Don't say that was a flashpoint, and but it's actually about something else. I don't think they are writing about something else. I think this is one where I'm going like, fucking. I get it. So let's just fucking do something about it, America. Right, next.
We don't normally start quite so deep, do we?
It was on my mind. It's been on my mind. It's one of those things, it hasn't not been on my mind. But I've been very mindful. I haven't been constantly checking the news in a mawkish way. Like, no, I don't want the riots...
I've tried not to.
Sorry, I don't want the protest to become like a soap opera. But the actual initial crime has really affected me. It has been on my mind a lot.
Yeah. Well, I had a panic attack in my sleep the other night. So that's new.
Oh, dear. Did you stop breathing? It might have been apnea.
I did, yeah. What happened was, in the dream, I was on a bus, in the middle of the bus, and I realised that because the bus was moving, I couldn't instantly get off if I wanted to. And so I remember in the dream beginning to have a panic attack and then just waking up with having a panic attack.
Well, that's interesting that you're feeling that now, because I listened to or read something somewhere that at the moment people with anxiety disorders are actually handling the current situation quite well, because apparently they think that anxiety... I'm not saying that all anxiety disorders are this trivial, but not trivial, but there are severe anxiety disorders. But people with on the milder end of the spectrum of anxiety disorders, they think that's an evolutionary trick where you catastrophize and imagine the worst things happening. So when it does happen, you're prepared. And they're saying that in this lockdown, people with anxiety disorders, lower end, are actually dealing with a bit.
See, told you.
You what, sorry?
They're almost like, see, told you.
No, it's like their system says that. It's like that you prepare for the worst, so when the worst happens, you're equipped to deal with it. So it's funny, not funny, it's interesting that you've developed an extra anxiety disorder during this time of lockdown.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was there.
Well, no, that's the beginning, that's the thin end of the wedge, mate. You're going to be a basket case in 12 months.
Oh, well, I think that. I do genuinely think that.
Yeah, we all do.
I can make myself have... Every panic attack I've ever had was me basically going, don't have a panic attack.
Oh, that is what every panic attack is. Because I used to have them, and I was told by someone that you should ride the bull. Like, when you are doing bull riding and the bull wants to go left, you don't try and lean and steer it right because it will throw you off. You go with it.
What about when it's saying... Like, so the last one I had was having the MRI scan for my brain scan.
Yeah, that's a slightly different. That's a claustrophobic induced.
Yeah.
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 So the confined space you couldn't control. You had to go in there for your scan.
And I couldn't instantly get out. So I'd be fine in but since I can't, I mean, I've got this, not claustrophobia, but I mean, really tight space, which is all spaces when you're this fat. Thank you.
Well, you've just described the dictionary definition of claustrophobia, but carry on. It's not claustrophobia, it's just I don't like confined spaces.
Yeah, but I never ever had a problem with it. But even the thought of being on a submarine now makes me feel anxious.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I have that about falling in this like big, vast expanse of the ocean.
Yes.
I used to freak out
thing
about
below you, the depth.
Well, all I'm going to say is don't watch that George Floyd video, because that freaked me out of just thinking of being restrained and knowing you're going to... Oh, God. But what I was going to say is, so when you start having a panic attack, you observe yourself, and instead of saying, don't have a panic attack, oh my God, it's coming, how do I stop it? You say in your mind, oh, I'm doing that thing again where I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack. This is what I'm doing now, and it goes away. That's how you deal with it. You accept what's about to happen and you observe it. Think about what it feels like. Think about...
The one that I had with the MRI scan, just before I went in the machine, I said, sorry, can I come out, please? And they just took...
And you went, I'm gay!
Put me back in. And that's how they talk. Sorry. As I then basically had a panic attack for 20 minutes in a machine... thinking, I can't come out of this machine because it will ruin everything.
Just close your eyes. And I learnt this from chucking whiteys when I was younger. When you start chucking a whitey and you think, oh my God, I have smoked too much weed, I'm going to die, I need to straighten up, I need to straighten up. That won't work. That's you have to relax and go, oh, I'm chucking a whitey, how bad is it going to get? And then it goes away. It's when you try and fight it. It's when you try and correct it. It's when you try and...
Yeah, and you've got no control.
No, and then that's what it is. That's when the anxiety builds and then your breathing gets fucked up and then you think, I can't breathe. Instead of
but
thinking...
I had some vague thing. Like, there was a... We went somewhere on holiday. This is probably 5 years ago now. And there was like this tunnel that you could go in. It was a maze. And it was basically made of wood. And over the top was like a plastic tarpaulin that was fixed down. And they were like, all right, your kid can go in and then you can go in with him. And I got halfway in and I went, no. Because it was so hot and there wasn't much air. You know what I mean? And I was like, nah. I'm not going to go.
This is the man that's built a pod booth in his loft.
I don't know what's happening. Honestly, I wouldn't go on a ride now.
No, I wouldn't go on a ride anyway.
I wouldn't go on a ride at Alton Towers anymore. Whereas I used to not care.
Well, I've got a different... I wouldn't go on anything like that because I just think my spine would fall out. My back's so bad. I just think I'd come off and wouldn't be able to look over my shoulder for 6 months. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're jarred around. I remember going on one of those dodgy fairs that you get and there was a ride that just spun round and round. I was in so much pain. Yeah. I remember thinking, like, I kind of was like, I can't be in pain because they wouldn't allow this to happen, would they?
What do you think an alien would think? If they come down and observed us paying money to be basically spun round in a giant fucking tumble dryer drum.
So what is that then? Why do we have that?
Is it controlled? Is it because it's a controlled environment? Like, if you're driving, you do not want to experience that centrifugal force of you falling off the edge of a cliff. That's basically the last thing you want to experience,
isn't
it?
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, but you drive to the fair. So you drive to Alton Towers very carefully.
I drive at 125 miles an hour.
And then car spins out and it flips 90 times. You do not want to experience that when you're behind the wheel of a car. Yet you drive there
telling the children to be quiet.
Yeah, and you'll pay 45 quid day pass each to go and feel that.
Queue. But that's why you queue for an hour beforehand. Here's a conspiracy theory for you.
Oh.
The reason the queues are so long is to make the rides feel more exciting.
Yeah, so you go from perfectly sedentary. Okay, I get that. I don't know if I buy it, but okay,
that's
sure.
Why it's always a queue. No matter when you go, you queue for an hour, and it's just literally done so that you are as relaxed and stationary as possible. Sedentary, you said it best.
What do you think of these express queues ideas of this?
Oh, I hate it so much.
Are they just not trying to create divides in us? So if you didn't have an express queue, the normal queue would go quicker because people wouldn't be jumping in front of you, essentially.
See, now as well, they don't just have an express queue. You can buy it for individual rides, like one go. So you can go, oh, I really want to go on the Saw ride at Alton Towers. I'll pay £5 and jump the queue a bit.
Yeah, if you think about it, if the first class passengers on an aeroplane didn't have so much legroom, we'd all have more legroom. So instead of everyone having... instead of everyone... Because they cramp you up the back to make first class bigger.
Yeah.
Don't everyone just have a little bit more legroom and we can all... I'm fucking turning into a communist. We could all have enough legroom.
Communist, I love it.
We could all have enough legroom, Ash. If those pig dogs up in front of that curtain didn't have bunk
but
beds.
But then you've just got the pilot up there with his legs all over the place. That's the problem. Ultimate power, ultimate corruption.
No, but that is my airline. Instead of everyone being shit like EasyJet, not EasyJet, Ryanair, the one everyone hates, which like everyone's crammed in, yeah? Mine would be, there's no first class, but it's not all like crammed in either. I've took two rows of seats out. Yeah, I would say there's no first class, but you're not all treated like cattle either. And I would have... Yeah. So everyone's just got 2 inches more leg room than you normally have. Yeah, everyone's got the same.
I mean it. I'm in. I think it's great.
This is the same principle with the express queues. If people didn't have express queue passes, the normal queues would be better. Yeah. This is the whole society works like this, right? Oh, I've got to say something. Don't know why I just thought of this.
It's your podcast. You can say what you like.
That's not. It's ours. If you're not listening to me, there's no mine. It's ours. There's no me. Sorry. It's we. It's
You've
not.
You've got to say something. If you say a little bit less.
It's not your pen. It's our pen. That was a quote from
Charlotte's Web.
Meantime, Phil Daniels in the job centre. It's not your pen. It's our pen. I did something I don't often do. I listened back to our last episode.
What?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what came over me. And I started a thought, and because we had technical difficulties that you edited out, it looked like I just said something for no reason. And I was like, oh, that sounded like I just lost the plot. But I hadn't finished my thought.
What was it?
I was saying that, have you ever been somewhere like New York where they behave differently and you accept it?
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yeah, it went nowhere, right? So the point was, so this is the point. So I was in New York and someone was really rude to me. And I, instead of getting offended, I thought, oh.
I've got to interrupt you. I'm sorry, I've got to interrupt you because I've just remembered your incredible New York story about the glove.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That was the second cringe thing that happened in the same bar.
Oh, please, please tell me.
I'll tell it. So the first, I'll tell you the whole thing. So this is when they weren't allowed to smoke indoors in America, but you were here. So I wasn't used to people smoking. And I was there in February and it was freezing. And I got off the plane and the customer service, as soon as you get there, is so good it makes you uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, I went to the hotel, someone opens the door for you, you do this, someone presses the lift button for you. Do you know what I mean? They've got a bloke in the lift going, what floor? I was like, why can't I just press the button? I've got to tell you what button to press. So I walked up to a bar and there's a big bloke in a black coat and I just stopped there and stood and waited for him to open the door and it was just a bloke having a fag outside.
Oh my God.
And there was a standoff and he looked at me and I looked at him and I just stood there like going, why aren't you opening the door? That's how quickly you get used to it. Ugh. It was like the third door I went through. I'm like, I'm not opening my own door. What the fuck? So that happened. Horrible. So then I was in there and I got chatting to the bar guy and it was freezing cold. And there was a bloke sat at a bar eating a bowl of ramen noodles, which is a very watery dish. A big dish. And he was sitting there and I was chatting to him. And I went to leave and I had my two gloves in one hand. I was about to go outside to put them on. And as I left, the barman, I weren't used to this, I just had a pint, I was about to leave. You just walk out, right? I'm English. You finish your drinks, you go home. And I'm walking out and he went, hey, buddy. I went, what? He went, see you around, see you later, thanks for coming. And I went, all right, cheers, mate. And I like went to wave my hand up in a big theatrical wave. One of my Thinsulate toweling gloves flew out of my hand up in the air and landed in the skeezer's noodles. I had to go over. I go, I'm sorry. Delicately grab the hem of the glove, pick it up.
The ramen out. Of it.
I shook like a bit of coriander off back into his
I'd
bowl.
I'd love if you just squeezed each finger out back into his bowl,
wrung it out into his mouth. No, but I was like, oh shit! I didn't mean to do that. I was waving goodbye to him because he had his back to me. He looked like I went, see you later, mate, and just chucked a glove. It went so high, Ash. It was one of those. It was one of those bars with like a big high ceiling, and it all exposed aircon. And I went up. It went like 12 feet in the air, splashed in his noodles. Michael Jordan couldn't have pulled that shirt off.
Sorry, I'm English.
This is our thing. I threw my gauntlet down. So anyway, on that same trip, people were rude to me, like who worked in like, you know, and you go, oh, they're in New York, they're rude to you. So that didn't bother me. And you know, like if you go to, I don't know, a very different culture, like you might go to the Philippines and someone who's been might say, oh, by the way, Ash, just so you know, they find it rude to put money in your hand. So if you go into a convenience store, when they give you your change, they will just slam it down on the counter rather than put it in your hand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if someone did that in Southend, you'd have a hump. But when you're in Thailand or wherever I just said, when they do that thing, you just accept that's what they do and it doesn't bother you.
Yeah.
So here's a little word of advice to all the snowflakey people out there that get offended about everything. when someone says or does something that you find offensive, just think like that. Just think like that. Just think, oh, that would sort of annoy me, but that's just how they are. That person's got different sensibilities to me. I'm not going to let it bother me. I certainly ain't going to tweet about it and try and get them cancelled.
I saw an interview with Ricky Gervais yesterday, and I know he's not the person to necessarily hold up as a man who's righteous and everything, obviously, but they said, like, about cancelled. He's like, I'm cancelled every day by someone. Yeah. Like, every single day, someone's like, I'll never believe this. I'll never go along with him ever again. I can't believe this. And it's like, it doesn't matter, does it? As long as there's an audience for him, then it doesn't really matter.
How has this become the thing that I'm a big fan of punk, and I'm not the biggest fan of the Sex Pistols, but the legend of them, they were a very one-dimensional sort of like representation of the mainstream at the time and the new upstarts, you know, like a, so they went on Bill Grundy, they swore, they had all their tours cancelled, they went on tour and they had to be called Spots, which is the Sex Pistols secretly on tour, and so they were cancelled. Like, that was the ultimate first cancel culture, I guess. They were banned. Like, everyone pulled their gigs.
That was surely what they wanted.
It was what they wanted, and it was what the youth wanted, and it was like that added a cachet to them. They were banned. They were edgy. Now it's flipped. The mainstream, I think, are more tolerant than the sort of undercurrent of people now, the sort of, like, the kids, if you like, is about cancelling, grassing people up for not being 2 metres away in Morrison's. Because of the lockdown.
What is that itch that they scratch by
being right about something? Being, having power? Having that power?
Twitter,
I mean,
is the worst thing for it because it's so instant.
Yeah, it is. It is that. But like, people just, when people like that, I think that's why the lockdown, you've got team freedom and team lockdown. And team lockdown are so noisy. They're the noisiest ones. They are so much more vehement and aggressive than the conspiracy theorists. The people are, oh, you fucking idiot. You're going to kill people. I've seen a load of morons. I saw a moron in Morrison's and he picked up a tin of beans and put it back on the shelf. It's like, chill the fuck out, mate. Like, what? But is it just that knowing you're definitely right about something and getting that green light to be the cop that kneels on someone's neck?
There's no comeback because you can't say, other than, fuck off.
But when, okay, if the data comes out and some of the things you hear might be true, like there was a line, like the model that predicted how many people were going to die was bad, it was overblown, are they going to apologise? How are they going to feel? How are you going to feel if you're on the wrong side of history?
They've lost all credibility as a government anyway, haven't they? For not just the way they've handled things, but the way they've acted within it. That whole, you know, Cummings thing about, my eyes haven't been good, so I went for a drive to see if I was well enough to drive.
Who
are you talking to?
That is a very flawed logic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that is like, if you think your eyes aren't good enough to drive, they ain't good enough to drive. No one thinks that and their eyes are fine. Like, there's a... But I think the thing is, it's global.
I've been shitting myself for 3 days, so I'm just going to try this wedding dress on. Just to see whether or not I completely soil it.
I've been shitting myself for days. I'm going to put a pair of white pants on and do a massive fart. I'm going to push put everything into it to see what happens.
Just to see whether it's safe to do so.
We're on the side of caution. But the thing about the pandemic...
Do it in Castle Beauty Spot.
Well, the thing... Yeah, no. I mean, I don't know about a lot about that, to be honest with you. Because you know what? That hasn't really... That hasn't moved the needle for me. I don't care what he did. I don't care. I don't care.
I think it's the lying. I think a government person lying is the thing that bothers me.
But it depends what they're lying about as well. I mean,
no, I don't care what he did. Actually, I don't care that he went to the castle. I don't care about that.
Here's the thing of hypocrisy. It works both ways because his hypocrisy that he's in the government that have imposed these sanctions, then broken them, then lied about them.
This is the lying for me, rather than even breaking the sanctions.
Yeah, okay, sure. But I lie.
I went for a drive to see... It's like thinking it as you're saying it and then getting to the end and going, oh, fuck.
Do you not think the most offensive thing is the insult of how bad the excuse is? It's like,
that's what I mean, yeah. That's it. It's saying the thing. It's like... you know what? This happened the other day. tell me where I am on this. I finished some breakfast cereal, Justin, and I pulled the plastic insert out that was empty and put it in the bin because that couldn't be recycled. And the cardboard box that can be recycled, I just put back in the cupboard. And then the next day, my girlfriend went to get some delicious breakfast cereal and it was just an empty box. And she said, why have you put an empty box in the... Like, how has this happened? And I just went, I thought you wanted to keep the box.
Oh, dear. I used to do things like that, but I'd put two handfuls of gravel in it, pea shingle, out the garden.
Just so that you didn't have to put it in the bin?
No. So she'd open the cupboard and pour it into a bowl and dirty gravel would come out into the bowl. It's a good joke.
It's weird that you're single now, isn't it?
God, yes.
When you look at it like that, it's weird that you...
Hey, it's pranks by name, pranks by nature, yeah? What's wrong with that? That's one of the little things that just, you know, brightens up your day.
Brightens up everyone's day.
Like, and you forget you do things like that because you're pissed when you do it, and then you're upstairs brushing your teeth, and you just hear, what the fuck is it?
I need to point out, we have new patrons, Justin.
Oh, my favourite thing.
David McCormack.
Ledge.
You're a new patron.
Thank you, David McCormack.
Thank you, David. Hope you enjoy the extra stuff. And Callum Gould has upped his pledge to $5 a month. So he now gets the videos.
Oh, we had a little review on the video, didn't we?
We had a what?
Review on the video.
Did we?
Didn't we have someone review the video?
Oh, have we? I can't remember.
Someone DM'd you, didn't they?
What did they DM me? This
said I look like a fucking tramp.
Oh, yes.
Well, thanks.
A lovely little message from Yanis.
Yeah.
What
did he say? I'm worried about him. He looks like a depressed homeless guy.
I'm really worried about Panks. He looks like a sad homeless guy. I didn't know he was in such a bad place.
That's just what you look like when you get to your mid-40s, Yanis. Maybe you'll find out. Maybe you won't.
Maybe. If you keep getting bummed by those... he did not get bummed by the... For God's sake, stop spreading that. He also asks, is there a way to send Panks a package or something?
Now, that who's asked that? Meant
for air, but... Yanis, he wants your home address.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give him that. No worries, I'll give it to you to give to him.
Okay. So, Callum has taken advantage of his $5 a month patronage... in two beautiful ways, okay? What do you want first? Do you want his moon theory?
Yeah, I've got, because I need to know. I need to know what's going on with the fucking moon, mate.
Or he's got a conspiracy theory as well. So let's go to his moon theory first.
Yeah.
If I can just operate my telephone. Easy. It's easy, isn't it, to just use a phone?
Yeah, I find it easy. Sometimes I can do it just with my one-handed of my thumb.
Oh, bollocks.
Oh, Ash. You hung up on me. Boo, boo, boo. You hung up on me using your...
Didn't I?
Yeah, you used your phone. You hung up on me, didn't you?
So you want the moon theory first?
100%.
So this is Callum Gould's moon theory. He's earned himself a certificate from the PAME.
Yeah.
Panks. What is it?
Advanced Moon Explanation Academy.
Right. Just a small theory in your mind's eye. Picture... Okay, I'm going to start again. Just a small theory. In your mind's eye, picture those wide but thin glass tanks that house numerous earthworms in such a way that they can be observed.
Mm-hmm.
We are in one of those tanks.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that the moon is simply the white light of a laboratory viewing hole, and the reason we see the same side at all times is because the glass pane is slightly dirty from the inside and the humongous lights of the viewing side is illuminating the filth. dust, maybe? Or even the fingerprint of the other beings nonchalantly missed during installation. This adds up, doesn't it?
I've got to be honest, I have thought it was a light before.
The sun, in all its heated glory, no more than an incubation lamp. The stars, nothing more than distraction spots. A subject as to focus our eyes and minds. As for time, an ant lives typically for a few weeks, up to several months. But to an ant, it has lived a lifetime.
Yes.
That is very profound.
Yeah.
What's to say millions of years to us isn't just a matter of weeks to them? This would explain the sudden new virus outbreaks, the differences in weather patterns around the world, the sudden storms and wars. Who's to say we aren't simply the greater beings? We aren't simply the greater beings science project.
Well, yeah, and greater being is all relative, because I look at a trying to think of an ugly animal. I look at like the star-nosed vole. Have you seen those?
No.
Oh, they're disgusting. Their nose comes out like a fucking little arsehole. Yeah, it's like an arsehole. Horrible. Or is it a mole? It's one or the other. Or a mole rat. And I look at them and go, oh, what an ugly creature. But, like, they would rather bone each other than me.
Which is unbelievable, really. What about you? Would they rather bum each other or Yanis?
Yanis would rather bum them right in their star nose. But that's, so it's all relative. Like, I look at a baboon's distended when they've got...
Oh, my God.
When they've got them inside out.
I'm looking at one now.
They're inside... What, a star? They're horrible, aren't they?
What is that all about?
I think it's so it can feel its way through the dark. It's disgusting, isn't it?
Oh, my good God.
An animal you would kill monstrous. In a heartbeat. Yeah, so, but, and also looking at a baboon's distended inside out prolapsed vagina to a male baboon is like the hottest thing they've ever seen.
Mm.
So
everything's weird.
No, what I'm saying is it's all perspective. So to an ant could think, well, I don't know what he said, but yeah, I like it.
What a theory, Callum. I enjoyed that.
I did. See, this is the thing. I ask questions, not necessarily looking for answers, looking for yet more questions, Ash. That is the nature of existence.
He's earned himself a certificate, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to have to... Yeah, we've got one in the post, Callum.
It's not in the post yet, but I will do that. Oh, also, I'll Callum some stickers as well, so they'll be in the post. Maybe this week. Who knows?
No one knows. Was that his conspiracy theory as well? Because that was like quite...
He's got a conspiracy theory
as
well.
Oh, I thought that was all in one. Because that started on the moon, but then it veered off into the nature of existence, didn't it?
He's a very thoughtful guy, Callum.
Our typical listener.
That's the thing I know about
Callum. Our typical listener is...
So, why does a cup of tea always have a little spinning bubble appear in the middle, and yet you don't get this with coffee? No research allowed, hence me asking you. Again, incredible observation.
I'm going to say it's because coffee, instant coffee, is freeze-dried, so there's no blooming process required. Now, blooming is when you... use like an aeropress, like with yeast, you first activate a dried substance, it releases a gas, like yeast. So I think when you steep dried tea leaves in boiling water, there is gas released, and that is part of the blooming process, which leaves the bubble in the middle of the cup.
Well, I love it. Not so much a conspiracy, just a real good answer. I don't know... I mean, you used the word blooming. You know, the strong part about what you did there was you used the term blooming. And yeah. I've never heard that before, so you could have made it up.
No, like when you cook bread or when you make coffee in a...
It's called a bloomer.
No, yeah, it is. Because, well, I don't know about that, actually. But you put the dried yeast in a thing and you add the water to it and it starts bubbling up. And the blooming is getting that initial gas reaction out of the way so it doesn't put too much air in the bread. Because it'd have those big bubbles in it. You know, have you ever had that bread that's got unsatisfactory big holes in it?
Yeah.
That is when the yeast hasn't been sufficiently bloomed properly before used. So I think that is a result of blooming the dried tea in the tea bag. And I am fucking Yes, thank you. I'm happy with that one.
I have to say, Callum, you've been on fire this week. Absolutely brilliant. If you, listener, want to get involved, give us a bloody moon theory. If you're a patron, give us a moon theory. You'll get a certificate.
I'm starting to think that no one knows.
Yeah, they're scared, aren't they?
I think they're scared of answering. They're scared of asking themselves the question. Everyone's going to be really crazy.
I know that Mark Honeybuns, he has said he has got a moon theory as well, but I haven't seen it yet, Mark. So either I've missed it or...
Easy to say you've got a theory. Where is it?
Patron or whatever. Get it on there ASA possible.
I lost you then, but carry on.
That's okay.
Are you back?
Okay. Just double checking. There is no other stuff on there. We did. Mark Honeybuns has done a review for us on Podcast Addict, I think it's called.
Right.
It says, it's a 5-star review, as is the rules. I can't believe the utter shite that can come out of two blokes chatting. You should really be sorry for talking such utter bollocks. I've sat listening to every episode available and unbelievably it gets worse and worse. Go get day jobs and be more productive member of society, like a road sweeper, and leave comedy podcasts to others like James Acaster and The Dollop. I think I've been more entertained by flushing my own vomit down the bog after a night on the piss drinking shots.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute, Honeybuns. You can't do that and then actually name better podcasts.
he's nailed it. Can I tell you, you want to know the best thing about that review, which is an excellent review?
Go on.
He had 500 characters to use. He used exactly 500 characters.
Again, our listenership is a cut above, mate.
So thanks, Honeybuns. That means a lot. That
yeah,
really
thanks.
Does. So again, we need to do another push for these, don't we? Ultimately, we want 5-star reviews with the worst review possible.
But if it isn't 5 stars, it cannot be entered into the competition.
What will they win? So let's set a date for the competition. Let's do that again. When's the end of this competition, Justin?
September the 42nd. I don't know.
Okay, let's say, let's give him a month.
Give him a month, and you'll get a certificate from the Pranks and Firth Nasty Mean Review Academy.
A 5-star certification, Kat. So if you're a patron, do I have to be a patron? No,
I think we should start reviewing our listeners, mate.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think we should start giving them stars and bad reviews.
What? So how do we do that? How do we know about them?
Well, we know a few of them already, didn't we? We know Honeybuns.
Do we have
to
knock up a some sort of what's the word? Like a census, and then we pick them one by one. And
well,
we'd
do Yannis first, wouldn't we?
Yeah, probably.
We should
I love that Yannis is front and centre. I still haven't picked up those cards that he's lovingly.
That's all right. It's only been 6 months.
I can't get them. Simon has to go and get them, and he just won't.
No, don't blame him. I wouldn't go either. But I would go get those cards, but I wouldn't do a favour for someone during lockdown. Standing in the post office queue for an hour.
Yeah, that is the problem, Yannis. Just so you know, the queues are ridiculous. It is stupid here at the moment because this country is stupid. So although
that's
I can
what
see
I was
in Germany,
say
you're
earlier.
Back
Sorry.
Playing football, you're back going to the shops and you're having a lovely time.
No
in
one
England,
dies of coronavirus in Germany.
People are queuing for 2 hours to go and buy bread from a supermarket. It's like Russia in the 80s.
Yeah, except we have got bread. When you get
there's loads of bread.
When you get to the front of the queue, there is bread. Why don't they have express bread queues that you can pay and go and get your bread quicker?
Well, I did click and collect on some decking stain.
You fucking capitalist pig dog.
And they just left it out the front of the shop. Like they just basically walked out, put it down and went, there you go.
Oh, my God, let's get into my little day job I did the other day.
Oh, yes. You went and got a good, honest day's work for a good, honest day's pay.
3 days, mate.
What?
3 days.
Well, did you claim 3 days' pay?
Yeah.
Did you tell him it was going to be 3 days?
No, 1 day. I pay my taxes. So I went and said I'd do a fence for someone.
Yeah.
And because it was in a Victorian terrace, and it was roundabout, and it was a fucking nightmare. Like, every post, I'd go dig it out, and there was, like, whole bricks chucked down there. There was big dumps of concrete. I've got all pictures of it. Really back-breaking work in the stifling heat, and I got burnt. But the long story short, because I'd pulled so much shit out, I had to use more postcrete than I planned to use. So I was two bags of postcrete short. So I got in my motor car, and first of all, the closest shop to me was Wickes. So I go to walk in.
Did you go to Roy's?
No, they wouldn't have. Fuck. You think Norfolk is like, fucking open all hours, don't you? There's one shop here. Oh, Christ, standing there in his brown coat. But I went to Wickes. So I went to walk in. There's a woman at the front with a clipboard, acting all officious. Goes, excuse me, do you know what you want? I went, yep. And just walked past her. She went, well, what is it? Like, she actually asked me what I wanted at the door.
Oh.
I went, two bags of postcrete and some decking screws. We haven't got any postcrete. Like that. Not. Oh, sorry, I'm afraid we've sold out of postcrete, sir. No, you don't have to call me sir. But not, oh, sorry, I'm afraid we... Like, this is customer service now. Because you're key worker, who the fuck do you think you are? So, right, let's... So then I went round to the next one down, and anyone who knows Norwich, there's a huge fucking B&Q. It's like the biggest shop I've ever seen. There must have been 40 people in the B&Q queue, right?
Ugh. So I've that noise a lot today, I've noticed. Ugh.
Yeah, you've turned into a New York Jewish guy.
I have, boy, vey.
No, that's just Jewish. I mean, New York's like, ugh, I can't do it because my other year. So he goes, so I phoned up my mate who's got a maintenance company, and I said, have you got a TradeLink account so I can, because there was no queue for that bit.
Oh yes.
So he goes, yeah, I have. He goes, no worries. So I went to walk in, and they went, you can't come in this way, you got to go around the other way. I went, oh right. And they go, and have you got your card, have you got a TradeLink card? I said, well, I got a TradeLink account. I said, I haven't actually got my card on me. He goes, well, you're gonna have to go queue up at retail then. Talk to me like that, Ash. It's like, I cannot wait for this pandemic to be over when you go back to being just a fucking minimum wage shithead. Who the fuck do you think you are? So anyway, I'm driving out of the car park, and there was four people, like two women, two men, in B&Q full clothes, a uniform, obviously been out for their fag break or their lunch, and they were walking back in like they were like fucking fighter pilots or something. Do you know what I mean? It was like they were striding up the middle of the car park. It was like, you know, like the fucking Reservoir Dogs or something. Like, look at us, we're going to work, we're important, we're key workers. You wouldn't be able to manage without us, you wouldn't be able to come and get your decking screws.
That is true.
I was so angry. I was like, again, this comes back just like the police in America. You give people a little bit of a cachet and it goes to their head immediately. You work in fucking B&Q. You sell fucking artificial plants and tape measures. So then I went round to Screwfix, went to go in there, and he goes, excuse me, bloke in the car park. He goes, have you ordered online? I said, and my back was up. I went, no, I ain't. And he went, oh, I'm sorry, I'm afraid we're only doing online. And I was like, see, that's how you do it. You just, that's just because it's a pandemic.
Did you then order online on your phone?
No, I went round to Juicing and got some there. But
what a day.
Yeah, I had to go four places to get this postcard. But the point is, why are you talking to me like these human beings? They are awful. You've got a little bit of authority, and you haven't, but you feel like you have, and it's gone. You're just ringing it for what it's worth. What are you getting out of this?
And so you got the job done. You put some posts in the ground. You did a huge day's work. I saw the pictures. You roped your son into it.
Yeah, I did. I took the old fence away.
Is he a chip off the old block? Did he work his knuckles to the bone?
No, he's a chip off the old block and lazy as fuck.
Good boy.
Well, he hasn't been the whole. I hope he doesn't listen to this because the cat will be out of the bag. He's been very resistant in doing his schoolwork at homeschooling. So the plan was to take him to show him what the alternative's like, and show him how horrible unskilled manual labour is. And I was quite delighted that it was really hot and oppressive, and it was. But the nurturing side of me, I kind of didn't let him do a lot. I just did it because I felt bad. So it kind of backfired.
I just think you still did the right thing, though.
Yeah, but I wanted to go, look, this is boring. You've got to do your schoolwork. And he was like, yeah. And then the third day, he came and helped me the first 2 days. I was like, do you want to come in tomorrow? He's like, no. Because he was really looking forward to it. Like, I'm going to get some money. But then after 2 days, he was like, no, I'm just going to stay at home. And I was like, job done. But I did want him. It was a nice bonding thing. And he came and stayed with me here and, you know, made him his packed lunch and we chatted and, you know, had a laugh. But
well, that's the thing. It is a weird thing that me and the boy, we went for a walk the other day. And I said, the only rule is we can't talk about lockdown or any of that stuff. And we just got to talk bollocks. Because otherwise, all you're doing is talking the same old shit. And you're all living...
Yeah. Like this podcast.
Yes, very much. And that is why we keep doing it. And listen up, we are going to do a live stream, aren't we, Justin? I don't know when. When are we doing it?
September the...
Yeah, September. We're going to do a live stream.
I don't know.
Next week, maybe.
Yeah, why not? Let's try it. See what happens.
And if you're interested... Oh, don't tell us, actually, because if only three people say they're interested, it will demoralise me. I don't need that now, do you?
Just assume no one's interested, mate.
People are listening, but they're not getting in touch. Get what? In touch, for fuck's sake.
So many people listen and just don't... Like, they're just ghost listeners. I think they're ashamed of it. I think it's a dirty little secret.
It honestly makes me think that there's only, like, 15 people listening and there's some thousands of bots that are just...
But what's in it for a bot to download or listen to a podcast?
Like someone... Like, maybe the people who host the podcast are cheating us.
But I don't see what there's to gain from that. Yeah, I do. But I don't see what's to gain from a bot pretending it's listening to your podcast because it doesn't make... It wouldn't... benefit anyone except us.
Yeah,
and that's not what bots
to make us feel. It's like I do the radio show with Matt. Obviously, at the moment we're doing a day each. We got our listening figures come through, and they were ridiculously high,
right.
Like the Rajar figures. And I'm like, no, like I don't believe them. I don't believe that there's that many people listening when we do our show.
Mm, well, you never
I think
know.
I might be mentally unstable. Like I can't believe that anything good like that could be happening.
No. No, I don't know.
Anyway, speak to you next week.
Oh, yes.
Speak to you then. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye. Bye.